Once again, it's time to call and speak your mind. Tonight, another one of the programs which was pre-recorded for broadcast at this time. I'm lying here and listening to the program, and I hope that you are able also to be here and listen to something you recorded last week. Rather nice way to do the program from time to time, gives you a chance to sit back and evaluate. And when I get back in next week, I hope I'll have a few comments to make about the conduct of our program. Right now, let's get on to the calls. Hello, this is Speak Your Mind. Hello? Hello, Speak Your Mind.
Hello, Larry?
Yes.
I would like to talk about the inspectors, plant inspectors.
Well, that's kind of a vague topic, but you describe it a little more fully, and go ahead.
Also, where I work, we have inspectors coming in once in a while.
And what kind of inspectors? Safety inspectors, you mean?
Pardon?
Safety inspectors?
No, sir. You know, like health inspectors.
Health inspectors?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I'm telling one our place, well, it's a good place to work in, I mean, but, I mean, it's we're not supposed to use cosmetics, certain cosmetics, because what we do there, well, it attracts the fumes.
Mm-hmm.
And the inspectors, when they come in, they okay it. I mean, it's okay. Well,
the inspectors allow you to wear these cosmetics?
No, sir, no. I mean, like, we got this, well, we had a new machine put in.
You know, I don't know if anybody else out there understands what you're talking about. I haven't really understood much of it. What kind of a plant do you work in, without giving me the name?
Well, it's a coffee plant.
It's a coffee plant?
Yes, sir.
And there is a rule that you cannot wear certain kinds of cosmetics. What kind of cosmetics?
No, sir. Yeah, we can't wear perfume or Noxzema or anything like that.
I see. And that is, why can't you wear those?
The coffee will taste like it.
Oh, I see. You'll adulterate the coffee by wearing cosmetics that have a perfume to them.
Yes, sir.
Or an odor of any kind.
Yes, sir.
I see.
And we got, where we packed the coffee, there's, I don't know what it is. It's something looks like a sewage anyways. And, there's one terrible smell coming from it.
From the coffee.
Pardon?
I don't understand. I still don't understand. Where does the smell come from? What do the plant inspectors have to do with it?
Well, listen, they check the plant.
Yes, to make sure that the conditions are healthy.
Yes, sir.
And you claim they're not healthy in one particular place.
No, sir. We had one woman there. She come in, and she looked the plant over, and she stuck up her nose.
Yes?
And we never saw her since, whether she complained or not. But we haven't seen her since. And
well,
the way it goes around the factory now is that the inspectors that go there, they're paid off by the bosses.
Oh, that's a pretty strong statement.
Oh,
are you
yes,
prepared
sir.
To back that up? Have you ever seen anybody being paid off?
No, sir, but...
I don't know what inspectors they are. I don't know if they're Department of National Health and Welfare or Medical Officer of Health inspectors.
Pardon?
I don't know where the inspectors are from, but that's a pretty strong statement.
Yes, sir.
Have you got any evidence of this?
Well, I don't myself.
Well, what on earth? How dare you make such a ridiculous suggestion? If you think they're missing something, call the department, if it's a government office, which is responsible for sending these inspectors out, and complain about something the inspectors are missing. But for heaven's sakes, don't make accusations which are absolutely criminal.
Yes, sir, but this woman that worked at where we work?
Yes?
She said, or her husband said that's what they do.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Hello, this is Speak Your Mind.
Hello, Larry.
Yes.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine so far.
Hey, Larry, I just want to talk about this, you know, at the stoplight on the crosswalk for a pedestrian, where there is a stoplight.
Oh, yeah, just a regular, you mean a pedestrian-operated stoplight?
A regular pedestrian crossway at the stoplight. Don't you think it would be a good idea if the police would crack down a bit on these ones that drive right out where the pedestrians walk? Well, you have to walk in front of them and get splashed with a coming car, or else walk right out into another car or walk behind them. And when you walk behind them, the bumpers are so close you can't get in between them.
Well, they do clamp down on them. I've seen many police take somebody who has gone. That's why they paint the white lines.
I know.
At the intersection. Now, if you know what can happen, that sometimes you can be in the point of making a left turn and you can be out that far waiting and the light changes so you can't move. Sometimes
there's a comparison to it, but there's an awful lot of them that just drive out there even when they're slowed right down. They'll edge out there when the pedestrian's halfway across even. Mm.
Have you ever yelled at them?
Yes, I have, and I've been told something I couldn't tell you over the phone.
Well, I hope you gave them back in kind.
Pardon?
I hope you gave them back in kind.
Well, I sure did, Larry.
Well, that's, first of all, they're breaking the law. Well, that's bad enough, but they're also being highly inconsiderate.
Yeah, they're very inconsiderate of the pedestrian.
Well, I think we should make a plea to all people when they're coming up to an intersection to remember what they're doing by making the pedestrian walk around in front of the car is possibly, and this has happened, to walk into the stream of oncoming traffic.
Yes, you have to get hit with it.
Yes, or walking behind them to have themselves crushed between two cars, which also has happened.
That's right, too, Larry.
Well, all we can do is mention it. I hope that people listening will observe this regulation, which is an important one.
That's the main reason I wanted to put it on.
Thanks for calling with us.
And thanks for your program. I enjoyed it very much.
Bless you. Night. Hello, this is Speak Your Mind.
Good evening, Mr. Soloway.
Yes, sir.
I have a problem. I'm an unemployment man. I'm drawing unemployment insurance.
You work at unemployment insurance?
No, I draw unemployment insurance.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I was down there to put my claim in, and they sent me out to a certain company in Oakville, you know?
Yes.
They're hiring 4,000 men out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to take the bus there, return, like, and report to the Oakville office there.
Yes.
Then you had to take a taxi to go 5.5 miles into the plant.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Yes.
I waited there that day with about 300 men for 5.5 hours for about a 2-minute interview.
Yes.
Then they tell you to come back for a medical examination.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there for 12:30 in the following week. I never got out till 6:35 at night.
Yes.
30 men only were examined that day.
Mm-hmm.
That afternoon, like.
Yes.
Now,
if,
no
you
place
did
to
get,
sit
if
down.
You did get this job, would it have been a good job with a good future to it?
Well, they have a seasonal layoff there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. This is one of these unfortunate things where a company of this size, and we can only guess what company it is without mentioning it on the air,
yes, I don't,
can only hire from a pool of employable people like Toronto and can't come to Toronto to hire them because of the quantities required, and they don't have the facilities, but put you in a position where you have to go out there. Now, it could very well be if they're hiring that quantity of people, as long as the unemployment insurance is willing to send you at considerable expense out there, that is expense to you, it seems to me that they should be in a position where they can say to this company, look, could you cooperate with us in some way? Could you supply buses or something or other to get people out there? Or perhaps for your initial interview, come in here and we can set up an interviewing area for you. However, as far as the time waste is concerned, I think that if you do want the job, and naturally anybody who's unemployed looking for a job,
yes,
never mind going out to see about one that may be a sure thing, but somebody looking
for one.
Well,
here's the point. The time waiting is nothing, but you had no place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
They had a canteen there, and they wouldn't let you get a cup of coffee or sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go back in 6 miles into town if you wanted to eat.
Yes.
They wouldn't let
you
use
the
canteen. Pardon?
Did you get a job?
Well, no, I'm still on call.
Mm-hmm. Do you know of anybody else from that group who got a job?
Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Did you bring this up to the unemployment insurance, to the National
Yes,
Employment?
I did, and I wrote a letter to my member of parliament from my district.
Yes.
And I'm writing a letter now. I got it half finished to the Ford, pardon me.
Well, it doesn't matter. We know what company it is.
Yeah. To the company.
Yeah.
About this, to the president.
Mm-hmm.
About the paper, a couple of fellows have passed out on an empty stomach, had no money to take a taxi, had to walk in there to get the job. The 6 miles.
Well, this kind of thing does happen. That's true enough. I think that perhaps they weren't prepared for quite what happened. I'd be interested to hear what answers you get from the correspondence
said that we have to check on your former places of employment.
That's reasonable.
Now, they said they're taking on, they're hiring 4,000, but they're only going to screen 2,000 of them.
May I suggest that you would do well also to write a letter to the United Auto Workers?
Yes, I could do that. I
who
was thinking
have
about
a great
too.
Deal to do with who is hired and the
You see, there were quite a few,
conditions.
Mr. Soloway, that were married men with families like myself.
Well, that's an unfortunate situation, but...
Money that we couldn't afford on that. Mm-hmm. That it cost me just for the one day, bring your $4.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take a taxi in there.
Yes, I think
I had
you've
to pay
made
my
your
return from.
Yeah, you've already said this. Now you're going over old ground.
Yeah.
I will check with the UAW.
UAW, eh?
Mm-hmm. Find out what they have to say about it.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure, right. I will.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Speak Your Mind.
Hello, Larry.
Yes, sir.
What I have to talk about is...
Would you speak up, please?
Beg your pardon?
Speak up.
What I have to talk about is concerning speeding in cars.
Yes.
Now, I think basically the idea why people speed is they want to get to their destination sooner. You'll agree with me on this?
No, I won't.
You won't?
No, I think people, generally speaking, a lot of people who speed are people who just plain speed, because they're not going to get there that much sooner.
You don't agree they want
to
get there sooner?
They just plain like to drive fast, and it's a habit to drive fast, and they love to pass other cars.
Well, I disagree on this, because I am concerning, of course, conscientious drivers. Those that are not will be taken off the road sooner or later.
Okay.
However,
Well, I don't deny that that's one of the causes, but I don't think it's the prime cause. I've seen people just going out on the highway and zipping along.
Well, anyways, yeah. Now, concerning a person that is driving at driving on a five-mile destination, and he's going 30 miles an hour, it'll take him 10 minutes to get there, of course,
mm-hmm.
averaging that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he's driving at 35 miles an hour on the same destination... He would only gain 1.6 minutes, and at 40 miles an hour, he only gained 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Further, on a 60 mile destination, it'll take him 1 hour on a highway at 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
At 70 miles an hour, exceeding the speed limit, you only gain 8.6 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and at 75, you only gain 12 minutes.
Well, doesn't this bear out what I said, that I don't believe... that they're really speeding to get there faster, because they know in their heart of hearts that they're not really making that much difference.
But I don't think so. I don't think, as a matter of fact, until I worked these out, which is very easy,
yes.
I did not agree that... Hello?
Yes.
I did not agree that... I did not believe that you gain so little by the excessive speeding.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is the fact, and perhaps if more people were to figure it out just the way you did, they'd see how fruitless it is to speed. Unless you're going to go 150 miles an hour, which is highly unlikely and rather dangerous.
Exactly.
But I maintain that most people do know, and they have this little race against themselves where they try to beat their time. I've seen two people leave for the same place at the same time, and one is kind of a wild cowboy of a driver. I don't mean a youngster, I mean somebody who just happens to be a fast driver. And he feels covered with glory if he gets to the destination 40 seconds ahead of his friend. He figures he's just beaten them all hollow, and he's had to go pretty fast to do that. And he really, if he examines it and says, well, it's only 40 seconds, then it seems silly. And yet he seems to gain some feeling of having accomplished something by getting there ahead of somebody else.
Exactly,
so,
but I don't...
when you do mention the times as being small, people don't think of it. They still win the race.
Yes, but I'm concerning the conscientious driver, not one that just goes out there for the heck of seeing his wheels go a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this will, I think instead of the police using those silly...
Yes?
Using silly slogans of, don't be caught dead in your behind the steering wheel or some such silly thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they publish these statistics, I think they'd get greater cooperation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would agree with you, and I think only in a case of life or death should anyone speed, and when it is life or death, the siren is going, and you know it's life or death.
Well, okay,
that's a good point. Have you ever thought of writing that in to the Department of Highways?
Right, I might do that.
I would suggest you do that. Write it to the Highways Minister, and make that suggestion perfectly clearly that perhaps there should be some billboards. Say somebody puts one up in Toronto and says, if you're heading to Barrie, if you stay within the speed limit, it'll take you this long. If you intend to speed, this is how much you'll gain. Is it worth it?
Exactly. That's the way I was thinking.
Good idea. Thanks right. for calling with that.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Good night.
Hello, this is Speak Your Mind.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I wonder, would it be better for me to make an appointment with you or speak my mind from here?
Well, I think this could have been decided at the switchboard, but go ahead. What would you like to talk about?
Well, about an accident I had about 4 years ago.
Yes?
On my leg, and so I have never thought anything about it. I was working for a private company, so I got a wire through my leg.
Mm-hmm.
In hospital, I was 4 weeks in hospital, and I came out of hospital, and 2 weeks after, the doctor told me to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the leg was not healed up at all. I couldn't walk on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they cut off my pay and told me to go back to work, and I couldn't walk.
Did you get... Now, was this somebody at compensation?
No, they had no compensation, just insurance.
Oh, no. Workman's compensation. Anybody who works in the province of Ontario, I thought, is eligible for workman's compensation.
No, this company doesn't have any,
Oh, no. Well, now, I must be sadly mistaken about this, but it was my understanding, indeed, that you should be eligible for this. The Workman's Compensation Act covers such eventualities.
No.
Now, if you were treated privately and the insurance doctor informed you of this, you were in a position where you could go and get another opinion from another doctor, and you could take the case to court.
Well, I wanted two other doctors.
You wanted two doctors?
Yeah. And the first doctor I went to, he wouldn't treat me.
Well, now, with workman's compensation, there are umpires, or there is a board of referees, at least, who will, if the case is not to the satisfaction of the patient, will re-examine and will confer. Now, it doesn't happen too often that they will reverse the decision, but it can happen. Now, it seems to me that if you have no recourse at all, how's your leg now?
Still gives me trouble.
Still gives you trouble?
Yeah.
Well, now, I would say this to you, sir, that if you find that you're incapacitated in any way by this injury sustained at work, was it?
Yes.
Did you sign a release at the time, releasing the company from any obligation?
No.
Fine. In that case, you better go see a lawyer.
Well, I wanted three different lawyers.
What did they say?
Well, one lawyer will work on the case, he says, but it's going to cost too much money. I can't afford to do it.
Uh-huh. Well, now, you can't expect the company just to simply shell out, or the insurance company. Insurance companies can be a little tough. They have their clients to protect, too. They want to serve the people who are insured with them.
Yeah, but...
But they also have to protect the people who pay the premiums against excessive costs, which they feel to be unreasonable. However, I would say to you that no legal cost is too much if you're going to redeem something from it. And I think you should be prepared... and the lawyer perhaps would be prepared to suggest that whatever settlement you possibly could get could help defray your legal costs. Now, people always say, I've heard it said so many times, that the only people who win in these cases are the lawyers. That by the time you're through paying them, both parties are out so much money that there's nothing to be gained at all. However, I think that if your lawyer were in a position to make a strong case with the company and the insurance company... make it quite plain to them and to their lawyers that there would be no benefit in going to court, it would only cost them a great deal of money and they would probably lose, that a settlement might be forthcoming. Many cases never really get to court for this very reason, that they are argued over a desk by lawyers of both sides, and they say, well, what is the point of wasting the time and wasting the money when we're pretty sure this is what's going to happen? Let's save our clients the money, save ourselves the time, and settle it right here and now. But this won't happen in many cases until you have instituted proceedings. Now, you said you went to three lawyers.
Yeah.
What did the other two say?
Well, one lawyer, he wouldn't touch it at all. He wouldn't take it.
Mm-hmm. What did the other lawyer say? The third one.
Pardon?
What did the third lawyer say?
Well, the second one, he would have taken it on a... But he wasn't too keen, like. He wasn't... He had the case for about 9 months. He had done nothing.
Well, it sounds to me like two lawyers out of three. You know, this is like 9 out of 10 Hollywood screen stars. You know, two lawyers out of three wouldn't take your case. It might be a good case for you simply to say, well, perhaps they're right and you're wrong. I really couldn't say past this. But if you have a responsible lawyer whom you feel to be responsible, then you
well,
have...
Well, the lawyers are not altogether afraid of the company of the insurance. They see the trouble is as much as the doctor's fault, too, I think.
I see. Well, he's liable, too.
See, the doctor told me to go back to work, saying the officer was fit for work, but I couldn't even walk.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't argue the case here on the station, but you asked me for my advice, and my advice to you is, if you feel you have been wronged and you have legal counsel, good legal counsel who agrees with you, then I think that you should go right ahead with it. You have no other choice.
No.
There's no other way to force this company.
There's no other way in doing it, Mike.
No, not that I know of. Not that I know of. And the lawyer certainly should have told you if there was any other way to do it. I was not aware that you would not or should not be covered by workman's compensation.
No, there's no compensation, no.
Mm. Thank you for calling, sir.
And they got about five different places going. They're saying, got 25 different sections in the city working.
Thank you for calling with us, sir, and good luck.
Thank you.
Bye. Hello, this is Speak Your Mind.
Mr. Solway?
Yes.
How are you doing tonight?
Fine. I think...
I'd like to talk about whether Canada should have nuclear weapons or not.
Yes, what do you think?
Well, I'm for it, but what I really want to say is this. I've been listening to your program, and myself, I feel that the people do not know enough about this nuclear business and all that.
Oh, amen to that.
Are you all for that?
Go ahead.
Well, are you all for that, first of all?
Am I for what?
Well, thinking that the people don't...
Oh, yes, if you've listened to the program, which you say you have, I...
Yes.
More than once, my most recent call, which was really uninformed, a few days, a couple of weeks ago at least, I went on for 4 or 5 minutes in explaining once and for all exactly what the issues involved were regarding Canada's acceptance of nuclear weapons under the present conditions.
Yes, well, I don't know much about this politic business, but I think that we should leave it to the people who really know something about it, or if we don't know enough about it ourselves, we should learn more about it, don't you think?
Well, that's... You've covered both sides of the coin. I don't think anybody has a right to say we have to leave it to the people who know more about it.
No, but if they
because
don't know
our
more
right
about
is
it, then...
to well, you shouldn't be don't know about it. If you don't know about it, keep your mouth shut and don't even express an opinion. Too many people have opinions about it and really don't know the first thing about it. Those people are even more dangerous than the ones who sit around and say, "Well, I don't know anything about it. I admit I'm stupid, and so I refuse to have an opinion about it."
Well, I'm turning
they're bad
about
enough
it myself. I'm You're... learning about it right now myself, you see.
What have you learned about it?
Pardon?
What have you learned about it?
Oh, not really that much, but I talk to people, you know what I mean? And
people,
I
get... have you spoken to people, generals or cabinet ministers or nuclear physicists or anything like that?
No, none of those important people.
You've spoken to people who know about as much about it as you do?
Well, I just ask their opinions and...
Everybody will be free with an opinion. I have an opinion, too, and I'm not that qualified, but certainly a little more
yes,
informed than many people.
Yes, all opinions are not right, are they? Like, I mean, even the smartest man can give an opinion, and it won't be right.
Well, there's no such thing as a right opinion. If an opinion, one way or the other, is based on fact, there can be two sides. That's why it's called an opinion. That's just a sort of easy definition of it. If you have an opinion that's based on untruth, on improper facts, unreal and untrue facts, then it's an opinion you're not entitled to. Then it's not an opinion, it's just stupidity.
Well, I just thought I should make this point.
Well, thank you for making it, and
thank
learn
you
as much as you can about it. I think we all should.
I will.
Thanks for
Goodbye.
Calling. Hello, this is Speak Your Mind.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, sir.
The reason I'm calling, Mr. Solway, is in reference to a little incident that happened to me last week, and I'd like to get your personal opinion on it.
Well, go ahead.
I was parked on a side street just off Eglinton Avenue.
Before you mention this...
Pardon me?
Before you tell me the whole story, have you received a summons for an offense?
Have I received a summons?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought perhaps there was a case coming up in court.
Oh, no.
In which case we can't discuss it. Okay, go ahead.
Fine. Now, what happened is I was parked in a small side street just off Eglinton Avenue last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I made sure, I circled the block and made sure that this was a parking area where I could leave my car safely.
Mm-hmm.
Upon returning to the location, I found a parking ticket on my car, a violation of $2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went immediately to the police station, which was in the vicinity,
mm-hmm.
and I walked in and I told the sergeant down there, I said, I believe that your constable has made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, just a moment, he took the tag and went into the other room and came back about 5 minutes later. And he said, no, he says, according to the officer, he says, you were parked in a location where there was no parking. So I said, well, sir, what I will do is, I said, I will take it upon myself to take the officer with me, and
mm-hmm.
we will go back to the location and even check it,
mm-hmm.
because this is what I did before I came down.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to me, well, he says, look, fella, he says, don't bother me with your complaints. He says, if you don't want to pay it, you'll get a summons. And this was his attitude on it. Now, I realize $2 isn't much, but it's just
no,
the principle of the thing, you know?
Yes.
I mean, it's just the attitude that he had.
I'm surprised. Was this the sergeant
have...
on the desk?
Yes, it was.
I'm very surprised. Generally speaking, with a thing of this kind, and there are mistakes being made all the time, the sergeant will say to himself, well, I'm sure the constable doesn't want to appear in court on a charge that isn't going to hold up.
Right.
He said it was a no parking zone.
Well, according to the constable that put the tag in my car, he said it was no parking zone.
And you say it's not.
There was a pole down in front of my car. Oh, it must have been about 10 or 15 feet. But the arrow was pointed in the opposite direction, you see. And my car was parked in a perfectly legitimate spot with another vehicle in front of mine.
Well, in that case, all you can do is appear on it. It's too bad they're going to put you to that inconvenience, but that's what you're going to have to do.
Well, like I say, I have all the respect in the world for the Toronto Police, but it's just the point of the thing. It's not the idea of paying $2. Yes. It's just
I'd appear on it if the principal means that much to you. And complain at the time that you did make this call, and perhaps he'll be reprimanded. He should be. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I have to run. We're out of time.
Right, sir. Thank you very
much. Thanks for calling. Well, that concludes another Speak Your Mind, which was recorded last week for presentation at this time. We've all, well, at least I've enjoyed, I know, sitting around listening to it. And I'll be back again tomorrow night, pre-recorded, and back in the flesh again next week, asking you to call and speak your mind.